Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast, but here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Radio Ministries. As always, we welcome you today. We greet you in Christ, holy, precious, righteous name. What a great, mighty God that we're serving. I rejoice in His goodness. I rejoice in His grace. So many times we fail to appreciate the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I say the word grace, I often think about Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Christ Jesus. My friend, grace is very demanding, to say the least. But there are those who want to continue to advocate, appropriate, that we're under the law somehow. But Paul was very clear, very discerning by the Holy Ghost. In Romans 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So many people continue to walk in the flesh. When you're trying to keep the law, you're walking in the flesh. Because when you walk in the Spirit, there is no law against the things of the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Nothing could be more clear. Galatians 5 and 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. That's why you got to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. I know some of you listening today, by the emails, by the letters, by the phone calls, that you're discouraged. Your circumstances are becoming overwhelming in your life. And because of that, it's easy for Satan to distract you and for Satan to magnify the problems. Because if you fail to magnify the Lord, then you magnify the problems, and the problems become greater than God. No man in this life is without problems. Job chapter 14, verse 1, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Our lives are daily filled with trouble. That's why we look for the day when Christ returns to this earth. He said, pray thy kingdom come. We should pray that God and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ will come in the earth. And it will, in its totality, when Christ puts His feet down at the Mount of Olives and walks through the Eastern Gate in Jerusalem. What a day that will be. But as I said a moment ago, many of you are beleaguered. Some of you are weary. You're tired. You're tired because of overwhelming circumstances. You're tired. The enemy has worked profusely against you to harm, to hinder, to injure, to do many negative things to you. But God is your refuge, your source, and your strength. Before I go into the scriptures, I want to dedicate this song to every hurting Christian who feels like you're inundated with one trial right after another. As soon as you get through one aberration, through one anomaly, yet you face another. But God has always delivered, and He, my friend, will do it again.
God's proven time and time again.
That's right. You may not know how. You may not know when. But God will do it again. I want to go today to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 68. We want to begin reading at verse 1. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. I want to use for a very simple thought today, let God arise. Let God arise. I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to try to fathom and grasp this very simplistic statement that I'm about to make. And that statement is, God has enemies. God has enemies. As strange as that may seem, in that God has enemies, yet we preach, yet we advocate, yet we appropriate continually that God is sovereign and that God too is almighty. Then we ask ourselves this question. So then why does he not destroy those who oppose and exalt themselves before him? You see, God has a divine providence, and it will and it must be fulfilled in its entirety. Needless to say, there are many unanswered questions today, but many times, if we will go to the scriptures, the Word of God, we will find many answers. Some of the answers are profusely clear. The Bible tells us there's coming a great battle within the heavenlies. That's not to mitigate, that is not to lessen the spiritual battles that you and I fight every day in the powers of the air. Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul tells the child of God, you're fighting demonic entities. You're fighting demonic powers. You're fighting demons of hell. You're fighting entities that literally bring and wreak havoc in the entirety of this universe. Paul was very clear, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Thus he went on to say, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul said, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. The days are becoming more evil, thus the powers of darkness are becoming more and more pronounced. There is coming a greater conflict in the heavenlies, according to Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. In that closing battle in Revelation chapter 12, Lucifer, Satan, the old dragon, the serpent, will be cast out of heaven. He and all the powers of the air, they will be confined to this place we know as earth. Because the scripture says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. When that event takes place, that will be known, couple that with the abomination of desolation, that will be known as the period called Great Tribulation. Revelation 12, verse 12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. That time will be 42 months, 1260 days, or time, times, and half a time, 3 1/2 years. That's why so many Bible students have it wrong, looking for a 7-year scenario. As I've said many times, that does not mean there might not be a 7-year agreement, but we don't know what happens the first 3 1/2 years. But once the Antichrist is personified, made manifest, and revealed, and disclosed, then will be great tribulation. You see, if you are a child of God, the enemies that God has are your same exact enemies. That number one enemy is Satan, the wicked one, the snare, the fowler, that old dragon, the serpent, the god of this world, the tempter. But I want to tell you something today. In spite of the vast array of names that Lucifer has been given, Jesus Christ defeated him at a place called Calvary. Colossians 2:15 says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And that through his death, burial, and resurrection, he conquered death and hell in its entirety. And now, you and I as believers are in the midst of this great tempest, this great storm that is raging and will only get worse as time continues on. You see, the psalmist, he said, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before his presence. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. You see, the church is to have victory over Satan. Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Where is your faith today, my friend? I can hear some of you today saying, why does God not arise then, and our enemies not scattered abroad, and flee before him, as smoke is driven away, as wax that melteth before the fire? Why are we not witnessing that? Because God is not exalted. God is not exalted. Psalms 34:3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sense his presence right now in this studio. As I am ministering this word to you, I was just impressed by the Holy Ghost. What would happen if we were aggregated, we were collectively in a building, 1,000 of us, and we begin to rejoice before God, and we begin to exceedingly rejoice before God? How much power, how much anointing, how much of God's divine presence would begin to feel and pervade and permeate that building where we would be together as a body of believers? Like a roaring lion from the tribe of Judah, the Holy Ghost would walk in, manifest the divine power and presence of God Almighty through the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. You see, we allow God to arise when we preach the Word of God. Regretfully, there is such a famine. Regretfully, there is such a loss of the preaching of God's word in this hour. It literally begs description. Steve Quayle called me the other night. We were talking, and there is on his website a questionnaire, and they're considering having another conference like the one we had in Bozeman, the White Storm Remnant Conference. And when Steve shared that with me last Friday night, I believe it was, I immediately began to seek God. I began to get my mind on God. And God, what would you have me to do if this conference were to come to fruition? If you'll go to his website, there are 5 or 6 cities. One is Eugene, Oregon; St. Paul, Minneapolis; Nashville, Tennessee; Austin, Texas. There's numerous, I can't recall them all, but there are a number of places that are trying to get a consensus of where they might hold the next conference. And they want to make the initial appeal to the pastors and the lay pastors. When Steve began to share this with me, I sensed in my spirit that if I were to speak, I need to challenge the pastors and the ministers to the preaching of the Word of God and nothing else. You see, my friend, there is power in the Word of Almighty God. Paul in Romans 1 and 16 said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. But when I read Romans 1, verse 16, I like to stop in the middle of that verse. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It is the power of God. The power is in the gospel, the word of Almighty God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing sunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Nothing can discern the body of Christ like the word of God. That's why there's no longer discernment in the church, because the pronouncement of the discernment comes from the preaching of the word of God. Remember, he said that after the word was preached, he confirmed the word with signs following. We've got it backwards in the modern church era. We run after, we chase after signs when the signs are clearly supposed to be made manifest after the preaching of the word of God, amen. Mark 16 and 20. And they, talking about the disciples, the apostles, went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. We have people following signs instead of signs following the believers. We got it backwards. It's not hard to understand the reality of God and what he's doing when you understand the word of God. People are not biblically centered anymore. They don't hear the preaching of the pure, unadulterated word of God anymore. Paul, he's addressing the church at Corinth. He understands what's taking place in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I speak this to your shame. You have not the knowledge of God. Hardly a day goes by. Somebody emails me, writes me, calls me with some heretical new revelation. And all I ask for is Bible. Show me in the scriptures what you're advocating. Show me in the scriptures what you are appropriating. But they can't. It's just something they think. It's just something they think. They think. Let me tell you something. Your thinking is wrong. Even one gentleman tried to tell me there was error in the scriptures. Oh, I could throw out a boatload of controversial scriptures, but I would not do that lest I offend, upset someone. Not that I'm so smart, not that I'm so brilliant, but I have enough sense to know you don't draw controversy to the word of God, because God's word is holy. Paul said, some men preach Christ by contention. I dare not preach Christ by contention. Oh, yes, my detractors, my pundits would say, oh, but you preach a post-trib rapture. We believe in a pre-trib rapture. Give me scripture for your pre-trib rapture, sir. Show me one scripture that clearly states, Jesus Christ comes before the great tribulation. Give me just one scripture that says that emphatically. One. Can't do it. And because I preach pure, unadulterated truth, they say, oh, you preach Christ by contention. No, sir. No, sir. I'm not trying to sell prophecy books. How many times do you hear me get on this radio and push my books? I make them available. I'll tell you here they are. You want them, there they are. It's up to you. I'm not selling wares. I'm preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there are those who preach for all the wrong reasons. They preach all the wrong reasons. Whose God is their belly? And they preach Christ with contention. We're not to follow those who preach that message of contention. But we take the truth and we build upon the truth, which is none other than Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, if we would preach the word, God would begin to arise in our congregation. Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces? Sir, you keep preaching the word of God. God's word will break that rock like a hammer, striking it over and over and over again. Finally, the rock will break. The rock will break. Why? Because of the power. Because of the power that is in the Word of God. The power is in the Word, and the Word is who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. We've got to preach the Word of God. We've got to get back to the simplicity and the fundamentals of the simplicity of the Word of God. David said in Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You're not going to change. You're not going to alter. You're not going to rewrite. What God has said has already been settled. Psalms 89:34, my covenant will I not break, neither alter the things that are going forth from my lips. God Almighty too is bound by his own precious word. That ought to make you want to shout. Because God does not change and vacillate and oscillate like men do on a daily basis. Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've gotten away from preaching the word of God to the people. Psalms 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's nothing that will enlighten you. Nothing that will give you greater knowledge and understanding than the word of Almighty God. Psalms 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Oh, I tell you, when I get into the word of God, it thrills my soul to no end. Psalms 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The word of God will quicken the men and women of God. Amen. The word of God will quicken you because the word of God is alive. The word of God is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Psalms 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. sometimes we have to be afflicted to get back to the Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Sometimes we have to be afflicted. David said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. When you get pressed, listen to this prophetic word. When you get pressed, when the end time church gets pressed in the great tribulation period, the church will turn back to Jesus Christ and say, God, touch us with a fresh anointing. Touch us with a fresh oil this day. And it won't happen until then. All my detractors and my gainsayers, well, why would God put the church through the great tribulation to get the church pure, to get the church holy, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without a blemish? That's the kind of church he will present to his son who shed his blood, to have a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled church, amen? Nothing less. Nothing less. And I look at today's church, pardon my expression, but it's scriptural. I want to puke. I want to puke when I watch these limp-wristed, two-timing, worthless, so-called preachers in their garb stand up there and are empty and have nothing to say relative to the word of Almighty God. You say, now, preacher, now, that's just a little bit crass today. That's a little bit crass today to say it makes you want to puke. I'm just like my Lord. Because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will puke thee out of my mouth. I want to be like Jesus in every sense of the word. It makes me sick. These men are afraid to preach the word of God. You know why? God's word will shred the preacher like it shreds the sinner. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how godly you are. I don't care how righteous you are, how much you fast, how much you pray, how many Bible verses you memorize. When the word of God is proclaimed under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, we all become broken and contrite because of the power that is in the word of Almighty God. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. When the Spirit of God touches the word of God, something dynamic will take place and happen in the lives of men. It breaks my heart, it grieves my spirit to know what must take place to get us back to the straight and the narrow path. Oh, this generation doesn't want the straight. This generation doesn't want the narrow path. We want Broadway. We want the wide way. We want Nashville. We want Hollywood. We want Broadway. Jeremiah 6 and 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I have set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. I shared with you yesterday, 20 years ago, when God showed me the error of the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine, how it was birthed out of hell. And I began to stand and cry aloud and preach that this doctrine was heresy. I was cut off. Cut off. Cut off. No longer called to preach at the camp meetings, at the prayer conferences. Why? Because my ideology, quote unquote, had changed. And I was now diseased. I was plagued. They didn't want me anymore. 7 years after that stay, and it just dawned on me, 7 years, completeness, a seven-year scenario, God took me out of the church of God, said, I'm done with you there, they won't listen, go. I shared with you some months back, as I was on the airplane flying back from Bozeman, Montana. My wife sitting on my left side and another lady sitting by me on my right side. I was in the middle of the seats. We fly coach. The Lord spoke to my heart. He said, had I left you in the church of God, your ministry would have died. Had I left you in that denomination, your ministry would have died. I can count the preachers on one hand in 20 years that have invited me to preach in their churches. And before 1994, I have preached in hundreds upon hundreds of Church of God churches throughout America. And now, none. None. But you see, like Jesus said about Herod, you go tell that fox. I do cures today. I do cures tomorrow. And on the third day, I will rise again. You see, God is going to keep those who are faithful. He will preserve them. He will protect them. He will provide for them. He will make provision. Why? Because God's going to have somebody who will preach his word uncompromisingly. Some bigoted, self-righteous lady emailed me yesterday and was appalled that I had usurped the name, the Voice of Evangelism, because that's the name of Perry Stone's ministry. And she doesn't know, but in 1985, I'd never even heard of Perry Stone. And Perry probably never heard of me either. The radio station in Charlotte, North Carolina. I had just taken the church in Charlotte in November. In December, he approached me because I had run some television commercials about a new ministry having come to Charlotte. And we tried to come up with a name. And I said, well, I've been an evangelist all my life, so let's call it The Voice of Evangelism. And by the way, mine is The Voice of Evangelism, not Voice of Evangelism. It's The Voice of Evangelism. And Perry Stone don't preach like I preach either. You get more Bible from this preacher in a half a minute than you get from most preachers today. Yes, we do not agree darkly because I do not believe in a pre-trib rapture, and you can tell him I said so. It's heresy. It's a lie. But she attacked me not knowing the truth. Attacked me. Lauded, extolled him, and castigated me, who she doesn't even know. But I understand why the castigation comes. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. I asked you last week, I believe it was, to start praying with me that God would bankrupt every ministry that keeps preaching the pre-tribulation error. I want you to pray with me that God will dry up their monies. They'll go bankrupt. They'll have nothing to say, nothing to do, because the money will wither away so that God might arise. And the enemies of his word and the enemies of his truth will be scattered abroad, and they'll melt like wax before his presence. You see, that's rather harsh. It's time for God to arise. It's time for the enemies of the Lord to be scattered. It's time for them that hate the truth to flee before the presence of God. It's time for them to be like smoke that is driven away. So drive them far away, Lord. Drive them far away. I'm tired of preachers twisting, convoluting the scriptures to make their own lies seem appropriate. It's wrong. It's one thing to be in error. As Jesus said in Matthew 22:29, ye do err not knowing the scriptures. But it's another thing when you blatantly, flagrantly take the scriptures and you twist them to support a lie. God will judge you in the great bema seat of Christ for having added to and having taken away from the Word of God. You see, they have no fear of God. Oh, they feign. They say they have fear. But why will you take the Word of God and twist it to support your lies? And that goes for prosperity preachers and whatever other else lie they're advocating. That's right. I don't care what the lie is. If it's a lie, it's not of God, it's of the devil. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, and Jesus said there is no truth in him. None. The devil will give you nine parts truth and put that one part lie to ruin the truth. Why? Because a little leaven. Galatians 5 and 9, a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. The whole lump is ruined. The whole lump is spoiled. Oh, we have those who teach and preach this prosperity. Oh, God wants you to be blessed. Oh, God wants you to have your best. He wants you having a yacht and six Mercedes-Benz and four jets and a house on the Pacific coast and one in Manhattan and one in Hawaii and one in Fiji or wherever. I'll tell you what he is. He's proud. Knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred or been seduced from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Ask Jimmy Baker, was preaching the prosperity message the truth today? No, he'll tell you it was a lie. You got to respect the man that will admit his wrong. You say, you admit you're wrong, Pastor? And you've been there the Sunday morning I walked to my pulpit when I was pastoring in Charlotte. And I stood before the congregation. I said, folks, I've been wrong. Not only have I been wrong, but I was taught wrong. I was taught wrong. The pre-tribulation rapture is a lie. And I'm going to show you why it's a lie. And I'm going to tell you why it's not. I'm going to show you the truth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Anybody has to be a heretic and an infidel to deny, to refute 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What day? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. and our gathering together unto him. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You can't twist it to the truth. That scripture tells you before Jesus comes, the Antichrist will be made manifest. But they say, oh, no, no. The falling away had been better translated departure. We're departing. Oh, yeah? Well, look it up in the Greek, sir. It's called apostasy, apostasia. It's a bill of divorcement. I didn't know we were divorcing Christ. I thought we were gathering together unto Christ. But oh, no. No. No, you take it and you twist it. And you lie because you won't preach the truth of God's word. It's one thing to be in error. Jesus said, ye do err. You don't understand the resurrection. He was talking to the Sadducees who didn't believe in the resurrection. They tried to draw Christ into contention about a man having died and his brother married the wife and he died. And it said all seven men had the woman. And in the kingdom of God, whose wife will she be? Jesus said, ye do err. You find all this in Matthew 22. Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, for they neither married nor given in marriage in the kingdom of God. No need to procreate. Why? We live eternally. That's another subject, another day. I'm talking about the saints of God who have glorified bodies, just like the body of Jesus, our Lord Christ. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because they knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Even John grappled in his understanding of this glorified body. But he said, I know this one thing. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Let God arise. Let the enemies be scattered abroad. And I'm telling you, help me pray. God, those preachers who have an unwilling heart to look at the truth, that are unwilling to honestly be sincere, I mean be sincere, dry up their money. Dry it up. Dry it up. God, we want you to arise. We want you to raise up preachers who will preach uncompromising your word in this end time hour. I want to see God raise up a generation of Holy Ghost spirit filled, blood washed preachers who aren't for sale. Who are not for sale. We try our best to be as true and honest in the scriptures as we know how. Those who have blessed this ministry before with a large gift, we write them a thank you note and we bless them for their gifts. And those who sometimes send some stamps, we take the time to write a little note, personal note, thank you, bless you, and give scripture. We try to treat everybody the same, whether you're able to bless greatly or bless in a small way. You are a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I often say, Lord, if this ministry were to ever explode, how long could I do this? How long could I sit down and just write a little note to every person? But as long as God will give me the grace, and as long as God will give me the strength, and I think most of you, and I know you say you thank me so much for those little notes, but I think you would rather me preach the truth every time I come to this microphone than getting a little note would mean more to you than anything else in this world. Why? Because it is so hard to find the truth. It is so hard to find somebody that's living what they're preaching. We're simple people. We're simple people. We're simple because there is simplicity in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, Isaiah said, a fool could find the way if he was really sincere with God. It's not hard to find the way because the way is Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ. It's very simple. It's very simple. Just live right. Do you hear me? You got a conscience. You know what's right. You know when you even take advantage of this preacher and you call me and you want my time, but you don't even dare support. I'm not so sure what the gentleman meant the other day, but he sent a dime. He said, this is a dime for all the people who wouldn't give a dime. Hey, you want to be arrogant at me? That's all right. And there are some who wouldn't give a dime to support the ministry, but they'll, can you return my phone call? Can you answer my question? Can you pray for me? Can you do this? Can you do that? And you don't appreciate the word. You don't appreciate the truth. Ask yourself a simple question today. If I wasn't here next week, would you miss this message? Would you miss this truth? Would you miss the Holy Ghost anointing on his word? I'm not talking about the preacher. I'm not talking about David Langford. I'm talking about the message. Would you miss it? Does it mean anything to you? I'll let you be the judge. Let God arise. And let his enemies be scattered. May the Lord God of Abraham forever watch over you and order your steps in his precious and most holy word. I'll see you Monday in the Lord.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism, P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. That's P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006.